The title of this session is Student Learning Contracts. And what we're going to basically be discussing in this session is, here's what I do when I sit down with a student to write up a learning contract. Just in review, the purpose for the learning contract is a written agreement drawn up by the teacher and student to set learning goals centering in on specific areas of his life that he wants to grow in. It also provides an opportunity to meet the needs and the interests of the student that you are working with. And to me, it's linking the personal studies with the counseling aspect of the program. I've put down 11 different steps here that I basically go through when we're working with a student on evaluating a learning contract, preparing a learning contract, and working through that learning contract. The first step would be at the end of unit of learning contract one, when he evaluates his progress on that unit. And it may be a verbal evaluation or a written evaluation, depending on that student's ability in being able to write. I would not let them go on to the next unit until they have achieved the goals that we've set for them in that first unit. This can be done through, and also as a result of this evaluation, the input that you receive from that student and that evaluation can be helpful in putting together your second learning contract for that student. So I take notes as I'm listening to the evaluation and reading that evaluation. I'll write down significant points. The second step that's involved is planning the learning contract is for the student to fill out some type of questionnaire or planner and helping him to think about some areas. And what I basically have them do is answer three questions. One is to identify areas you need to grow in. Have him look at his own life. What does he see are some problem areas that he needs to be working on or areas where he needs to grow in? Something similar to that is number two is to list problems or questions you have or are facing now or before you came into the program and to have him address some of those questions or problems. A good example of that was we had a student who is planning his third learning contract, and when he filled out that questionnaire, he wrote down several questions that he was wanting answers to based on the death of his mother. And so he wrote down several different questions. For example, how to accept the fact that my mother has died, how to cope with the anger of her death. So there were some good questions that he wrote down, and that was input from him. And a third question I had was to identify areas that that person is interested in studying. Not that we're going to take every one of those, but at least to get his areas of interest. Okay, and have him fill that out, and then moving on. Step three, with each unit, there may be some additional planners that you might want them to fill out depending on the subject of the unit. If it's self-image or spiritual growth or family, there may be an extra special planner sheet that you might want to develop to get some more input from them. We'll look at that a little bit later. A fourth step, and this is one that begins with day one, is that I keep a journal on each student. And in that journal, I write down observations I make, observations from other staff relating to the student's strengths and weaknesses. Some of these observations I may take from the lessons that they're working on, the group studies material, or just situations that they encounter while they're at the center. All of this can be very beneficial when it comes to putting together a learning contract. I can go back and reflect on some of this information, and it can be very helpful. A fifth step is to have the student meet with their counselor and to discuss plans for their learning contract. Now, this is where the student has a counselor, an assigned counselor that might be different than the teacher. Before the student meets with the counselor, it might be beneficial for the teacher for myself to meet with that counselor and say, now, here's the unit that this student is planning. It may be unit number two. So for unit number two, this is the subject, self-image. And maybe even to sit down and just briefly discuss some of the problem areas and weaknesses and strengths that this individual has before the counselor meets with that student, just to get some input from the teacher. I suggest that it'd be very helpful if the counselor is also certified in the personal studies. And that can help in him having a basic idea of where we're going with each student. Now, when the student meets with the counselor, I think it's helpful that the student discuss this student or this preparation sheet. And I just have a copy of that here. Basically, have the student discuss what areas he needs to grow in, what are his questions and problems, and what are his areas of interest. And also, another item that I think would be good for the student to discuss with the counselor would be the strengths and weaknesses that that individual has. And based on that discussion, for the counselor and student to come up with at least three basic areas that that individual needs to grow in. A basic direction, and write them down. And then after that discussion, step six would be to have the this information given to the teacher. The student can give it to the teacher, or the counselor could give it to the teacher. And then for the teacher to formulate these areas, these growth areas, into goals, achievable goals that can be reached during this learning contract. And the goal should basically be structured in what is this student wanting to work on, how is he going to reach it, is it going to involve someone else, are we going to set a specific time period for him to reach this goal by. Now, the teacher may want to write this goal himself based on this information, or he may want to sit down with the student while the student's right there and work that goal out, whichever is most convenient. Now, if there is no counselor that the student has, per se, you may want to have that student get with some of the other staff and just have them give him some input on his strengths and weaknesses, and then bring that information back to the teacher for final discussion. Step seven would be, when the goals are established, to review them with the student, to clarify any questions, make sure the student agrees, yes, these are areas I agree I need to work on, and make sure that he understands what he's working towards. Then step eight would be that once these goals are established, to plan the studies that this individual is going to be working on. And a few things here. One is, I think the teacher needs to decide what projects will be required. Maybe with learning contract number two, you may require more lessons than you would with learning contract three. Or number four, you might get less. I think secondly, the teacher needs to decide which studies the student will have the opportunity to select from, giving him some options. With learning contract two, what we do is we will give the student maybe 10 verses, and we will say, I would like you to choose three of these verses to memorize for your new learning contract. I may pick out, if he has three goal areas, I might select two verses, three verses for each goal area, and say, okay, you choose one of these three. And that way I'm giving him a chance to begin to decide and helping put this together. And then thirdly, there may be some areas that I might just let him have the complete freedom to choose, maybe a character quality, as long as it ties in with the goals. And the resources that I choose from would be resources that would all help him in those goal, or that student with their goal areas. I think another factor in having the student choosing may depend on how long that student's been in the program, and also based on the growth areas. You may have some specific material that you want him to work on, and so you might want to suggest that he work on those areas. Then review these all the studies that he's, the material that he's going to be working on, and just make sure you clarify any questions. Then step 9 would be for the, once the planning has been completed, would be to transfer the material from the worksheet learning contract to the final draft learning contract, which includes date started, date completed, and that way then he is now ready to begin work on his learning contract. And I also, at that point, would decide on a completion date. Is he going to complete this learning contract in 4 weeks, 5 weeks? Set a date for completion. And then step 10, the last step would be, now that the student is ready to begin work on his studies, every week I would meet with him just to briefly discuss his progress, making sure that he's balancing his studies, working on each of the areas. He's not just reading his book and spending no time on the other areas. Sometimes students will say, well, I want to get these particular things out of the way and then I'm going to concentrate on the book. I think we need to make sure they're balancing their studies out. The daily goal sheet is a good tool to use in helping the student balance his studies. Then when they've completed all their studies, then I have them evaluate that learning contract. And really, to me, the evaluation begins the day they start that learning contract, because they've established the goal areas, and I give them a sheet where they list the goal on it. And as they are working through the learning contract, I have them fill out observations they're making, progress they feel they're making on that goal area. I was trying to find it, but I can't seem to find it. But just listing that goal area, and then as they're working on it, list what progress they feel they're making. So at the end, you can use that in the evaluation. If you feel that at the end they've completed all the work but they've not reached the goals, then I think you need to discuss with that student some specific projects he can work on maybe for the next week to help him make some sizable accomplishment towards that goal area. Just a few other things pertaining to the writing of the learning contract. At our center, it takes about 2 to 3 days from the process of evaluation to the process of discussion with the counselor, discussion with the teacher, writing those goals, planning the work. Does it always take just 2 to 3 days? No, sometimes it takes 4 or 5 days because of the workload of other students. But if you spread them out so they're not all happening at the same time, that's a key. But I take several hours to discuss with the student the different planners, and I let them talk with the counselor for maybe several hours too. So a lot of time goes into planning the unit. That's a lot of time, yes, but to me, the personal studies are linked with the counseling, so they both are going in the same direction. They're not going, the counseling is not going in one direction and the personal studies going in another direction. So that the student sees that his counselor, his teacher are working together, and we're not just slapping something together and calling it learning contract two. And for myself, I can't stress the importance of keeping a journal on the progress of this individual. Just very briefly, a couple things that we use in helping a student plan a learning contract. With learning contract two, I give them a rating sheet which says, to what degree do you accept yourself? And this is taken out of the Bill Gothard manual on accepting, self-acceptance. And I revised it a little bit to say at the top, rate yourself on the following actions and attitudes on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being it's a big problem, 10 it's little or no problem. Now that rating scale can be scaled down if you want to. But then we discuss it, and it helps me to see where he sees himself on these areas. I may see it through his actions and during the day, but this helps him to be looking at those areas. That's helpful with learning contract 2 for us. With learning contract 3, I begin to look back over the group studies and take certain questions from each group study that he has completed, and to try and bring into the personal studies some of the group studies work that he's been working on. For example, the attitudes. What areas do you want or need to develop new attitudes in? Temptation. List your major temptations. Discuss the need areas. So I try to incorporate some of the group studies into the personal studies. with Learning Contract 4, dealing with a family, Lesson 109 has some excellent questions that can be asked in leading into planning that unit. So those are some basic things that we do when we sit down and work with a student on planning a learning contract. I'm going to move over to the panel and for some